points on a cost. 3 and verse 16. Now, every time you see this Allah, you know that it refers back to something else before this was said. Okay? Allah. Meta. Protatos. Kai. Bobu. Sin a Dason. Ekontes. Agathen. Hina. N. Hol. Kata la Leiste. Katais con Dusen. Hoi. Epi Ri. Riazontes. Himon. Tain. Agathane. In. Christo. Anas Strophane. Marilyn, did you get the roll and everything?
I'm getting it right.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
And by the way, looking for verse, what verse we're on?
We're on 1 Peter 3:16. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 3:16. That Allah is a strong adversative conjunction. It's a but in the middle of a sentence. Okay? But. All right? And it refers to the previous statement that was made in verse 15 and actually verse 14. They're run on sentences. And the other one said, let good be in control of your life and don't practice evil. And blessed are you when you are persecuted. John? What? Tim? Oh. We've got a paper towel up here. All right. There you go. But with meekness, it says here, but Allah meta proautatos, meekness. And this is in contrast to what the Athenians did. Now it says be always, the verse we had last week told us to always be able to give an answer for those, for the hope that is in you. Alright? Now, the Athenians, now this is Greek, alright? This is a Greek language, it's the Greek history of the language of the history of the people that were in this area. And politically, a person was supposed to, a man of character and a citizen of Rome, and even before that, a citizen of Greece, was supposed to be able to stand up in a public place and explain where you are politically. All right? What you believe. And what kind of shape the nation is in politically. They should be able to stand up in pride, with pride, and tell what you believe and why you're voting the way you're voting. All right? Why you believe that the people that you support in office should be supported. And they did this with pride. They were proud to be part of the Roman government. Before that, these people were proud to be part of the Grecian government. There was supposed to be pride in this. And Peter says, but, now he says, be able to do this, but, as you answer these people for the reason, for the hope that is in you, when you give people an answer for why you believe in Christ and why you have laid your life on the line for Him, don't do it with pride, but do it with meekness. That's real hard and real different for human nature, isn't it? Everything we do it with pride. What are some of the loudest arguments you hear? Religion and politics, isn't it? All right. When you argue, when you give a reason for what you believe, do it with meekness. That's hard to do. Do it with meekness.
When you argue,
do it with meekness. Do it with not so much pride as it is in defense of the Lord Himself and what He has decreed. Okay?
Jim, would you define meekness? Sorry.
The opposite of pride. Okay. The opposite of pride. It told the women earlier in this chapter to, without a word, win your husbands. Without saying one word. If you... Now, first of all, women aren't supposed to go out and marry lost husbands. That's wrong. You've already walked across the line. Men aren't supposed to go out and marry lost women. If you do, you're breaking your own neck. It's simple as that. Of course, what they tell you may be not true. All right, that happened to me once in life. But we're not intentionally supposed to marry anybody lost. But when you're saved and you are married to somebody that's lost, it told the women here, without one word from their lips, that by their living testimony and by their meekness and by their obedience to God and to their lost husbands, that they could win their husbands without saying one word, without not nagging one time. To do it with meekness and a subordinate spirit. And slaves, even though you've got a horrible master, and it's real hard in life because this guy is beating you daily, still serve the Lord and be obedient to Him. Because he was bought and paid for. This guy was owned by somebody else. But better than all of that, that one of these days, that when you die and you lay down and they put you in the grave, that you will no longer be owned by that man. I read a story today about a Catholic Pope. And he was an old guy. I think he was 91 years old when he died. He was Pope for about 10 years. And he made some enemies. Of course, you have to realize this was during the Dark Ages. And the popes used to stand up with three fingers and they'd vote and tell what to do. All right? And the people that that he ruled over, and you have to realize that these popes ruled over the whole world, they said. They actually, you know, pastors, the Bible says pastors are to rule the church well. And actually it means to watch over the church well and to lead the church well. Well, the popes got an idea that at about that period of time, especially this pope, that he was not only the ruler of the church of Rome, but over all the kings of the earth. And he jerked some of them around. You know, he told them, you can't marry this woman. You can't do this. You can't do that. You are going to have this pastor in your city. And they were mad at this guy. Well, he finally kicked the bucket. I think he was dead for about 6 or 8 months. And they dug his grave up and took his dead body and dressed it in all of his refinery as the Pope, put him in a court trial and tried the man. And they strangled his corpse. And they said that that man was guilty of being overbearing, that he really didn't even know the Lord at all, and all the time that he would stick his hand up like this and vote and do what he did, they cut his three fingers off. And then they took him and threw him in the river. His corpse. With all his finery, and they defrocked him too, yes.
What's the three fingers mean?
That was just them, okay?
That's just what they did.
That's just what this guy did, okay? That was a typical of him, yeah.
What did you say?
He's from.
Oh, what does that mean?
They said that he wasn't a pope anymore and he didn't deserve to be the pope. They defrocked him. They took his authority, papal authority, away from him.
Sounds okay.
All right. That's what they did to him. And then, I mean, this is something. Then a guy felt sorry for him floating down the river, so he grabbed him and buried him in a little grave. And then a pope old down the line about 50 years or 100 years later, he takes him and buries him in a really place, and they put papal robes on him and bury this guy again. But this guy was tried after he was dead. Because of what he did in life. He was dead. I mean, he was already either with the Lord or in hell, one or the other. I mean, there's only two places to go. But they dug him up and tried him. That's something. He wasn't meek at all. This guy was not meek. He lied to people. He did all kinds of stuff to hold his papal authority. It says, but with meekness and of fear, having a good conscience. Meekness and fear. All the things that took place during that guy's life didn't take place with respect or meekness or fear.
Mm-hmm. What pope was that?
I can't remember his name.
Oh. It wasn't Jerome, was it?
No, I think it was Innocent, but I'm not sure. All right. Jerome got in trouble too. Jerome lived in Bethlehem. And he got in trouble with the men of the city over their dollars. And they worked him over thoroughly. And that's the one that translated the Latin Vulgate. And he became pope later, from what I understand. Jerome, and he became Saint Jerome. But sometime that they did that to him while he was alive. I mean, they didn't dig him up and try him again. A fear with a good conscience having. And what kind of conscience is this agathane? Look at that word agathane again. Agathane. That's spiritual good, isn't it? A spiritually good conscience. That's seen a deison. That means to understand together. To understand what your standing is between man and between God, too. Having a good conscience, in order that in which have you ever had somebody run down your character? That's what it's talking about here. It means to talk you down. You are supposed to have a good conscience, for when people run you down, kata laleo, it comes from kata, and that means down, doesn't it? And laleo. When somebody talks you down, when somebody runs you down, when somebody perjures themselves against your character, when they assassinate your character, when they belittle you and browbeat you, it says that they may be ashamed. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Many times when you have enemies like this in the world, they never are ashamed now. Did you know that?
They're not ashamed
now. No, they're not ashamed now. They will never be ashamed in this life, maybe, because they have such a hard, seared, anesthetized conscience. But one of these days, they'll be ashamed. When they come before the Lord. Because there's not going to be cover up there. There's not going to be any lies. There's not going to be any perjury before the Lord. You can go into a court of law down here. And I remember this so much. I was talking to a lady in church the other day. And Brother Roger went down to court with her. And she has spent millions of dollars on doctor bills. and hospital bills. And they went down there and they were trying, I don't know the exact circumstances, but they went down there to try to get the responsible parties to pay for the doctor bills. And when Roger went down there, he said, I want you to know something. This is not God's house. God is not related to anything that's going to take place here today. All we can do is pray. But God is not in any of this. So don't expect things to go right. If things go right, things go right. We can pray for things to go right. And we know that when we come before God, the truth will come out. But the truth may not come out here. So don't expect that, and don't be disappointed if something bad happens. Guess what? The truth didn't come out. Now, at this point in time in her life, they said, you've lived too long anyway. She's a young woman still. She can't even get any medicine to stay alive. Medication keeps her alive. She can't even get the medication to stay alive. They've cut her off. The insurance companies won't pay any more or anything, and they said, well, you already lived longer than what you should have lived. Yet she's not even 40 years old. You may not get justice here, but I can guarantee you, before glory, you will have justice. And those that run your character down here will extremely be ashamed there. They will be ashamed. It says, kata, kates, kon, thusin, hoi, epi, rion, zontes. They may be ashamed, the ones. Now here we have a word, this word, epi, rion, zontes. It means to insult you. To insult you spiritually. To insult you physically by slapping you or hitting you or abusing you. And to insult you mentally. And that hoi there, that means nominative plural masculine. And the ones spitefully abusing and insulting you. And you know what? This is the nominative plural masculine present participle active. Guess how when this takes place. What's a present participle? You remember what that is? That's something that goes on continually, isn't it? Marilyn, have you ever had this happen to you?
Yes, sir.
A continual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is your conscience free?
Yes.
It is and it was. Why? Because you had a good conscience with a meekness and fear, you did what you knew you were supposed to do.
Right.
Now someday, they, the ones that have wronged you, will be ashamed. That will happen.
Mm-hmm.
This girl, this Pam, the ones that have wronged her in this life, the ones that cut her life off, shall be ashamed. That's going to happen. Abusing you because of your good conduct in Christ. And by the way, this good conduct in Christ, Paul uses this many, many times. All right? Here we have the word agathein and Christu, and then anastrophein. Now this word anastrophein here, that means to walk up and down. How many of you ever have seen on television or something where models display clothing? They're men and women models. And what do? On a stage. They walk up and down. And it says right here, because of your good conduct as you walk up and down in life. Now the Lord says, for us, he told the Lord back here in the book of Genesis here, he said, spread out. My boys used to watch the Three Stooges. And one of them guys would hit the other guys like this and says, spread out. Well, the Greek word is parapatio. That means spread yourself around, walk around. Spread out. God told them to spread out, and what did they do?
over here in this age of human government. What did mankind do? He told them to spread out and spread out, walk the earth now. What did the men do? Nimrod and his bunch. They built a temple, a tower. Tower of Babel. And they said, we'll stay right here. So God spread them out. All right? Well, as the Lord told his church in Matthew 28:18-20, after persecution has spread you out and scattered you all over the earth, make disciples. Make disciples. All right? Teaching them, first of all, baptizing them and teaching them all things that I have commanded unto you. Teaching them, and it says, guard with your life these truths. Baptize them, that means dip them. Teach them, and to tell them to guard that which I have committed unto you. And here's Paul's favorite term here. Now, Peter uses it three times in 1 Peter 3:16, 5:10, and 5:14. Peter likes this term too. Good conduct in Christ. Good conduct in Christ. 3:17. Now, God wants us to perform good deeds in the midst of a crooked and a perverse world. Did you know that? He doesn't. God wants you to perform good deeds in the midst of a crooked and a perverse world. I remember one time, Brother Madden was teaching me, teaching the whole class that he was teaching, preaching to or something. I don't remember what he was doing. He went into an area where there were a lot of Mormons in that area. And he was in this home. He went into this home, and he was trying to witness to these people. And he bent over the coffee table, and they had King James Bible on the table. He was going to bend over and do that. And he bent over like this, and out fell out of his pocket some Lucky Strike cigarettes. Right on the coffee table, and the cigarettes scattered. Well, Brother Madden knew that he really wasn't sinning by smoking these cigarettes. At that time, he thought, in his life. He thought, well, you know, this is between me and the Lord. And besides that, you could tell where the Baptist churches were, because in between Sunday school and church service, smoke signals were being set up outside the church building. And most of them. Smoking. And that was a common practice among the people at that time. Brother Madden, and he was teaching us, I believe we were at CMBI when he was doing this. He said, some of you students smoke. He said, well, if you can do that with a good conscience, fine. He said, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to go into people's homes. You're going to go into Church of Christ people's homes. You're going to go into Mormons. You're going to go into Jehovah's Witnesses. And you're going to go into Pentecostal homes. And if you're going to try to lead these people to truth, you better lay them cigarettes someplace else. Because when you bend over their coffee table, don't let them fall out on our coffee table and scatter like it did me. He said, you know what? That's the last day I smoked. When I got out there, I took those cigarettes and I threw them away. Because I realized in my life that my conscience no longer was clear with what I was doing. It was no longer clear. Before that day, it didn't bother me so bad. But when I walked into that home and my cigarettes fell out of my pocket on that coffee table, and that woman was sitting there and went, this woman was a Mormon. Mormons don't even drink tea. They don't drink coffee. Or soda pop that's got caffeine in it. That's considered a strong drink to them. And they sure don't smoke. Practice good deeds. Practice good deeds. Kraton, Gar, Aga,
Poyuntos, tos. A. Deloi. Toi. Dilemma. Tu. Thiu. Poskane. A. Kaka. Poi. Ontes. Now, as you're witnessing in a crooked and a perverse world, all right, the world will become guilty of your good actions. How can a child of God act like the world and not and witness? I want you to know. Just think about this for a while. You go out in the world. I remember Frank Gibson. All you know, Frank. You know why I heard that man preach some of the best sermons that have been preached in this church when he got up and he spoke in different in classes and stuff. Great sermons. I remember he told me that when he was saved, his whole life before that was out in the world. In casinos. In the bars. And he went back. After he was saved, he went back in there. But he wasn't drinking. He drank at first and he realized that this doesn't agree with my Christian. How can I sit in this bar and witness to this guy over here when I'm doing exactly what that guy's doing? They can't tell any difference between me and him. I can't go over here to Las Vegas to the casinos anymore and sit there and witness because that's what God leaves me here for. That's why we're here. He could just pull you out and you're gone. I had a real bad day today, you know. I mean, last night I didn't have dinner. I couldn't eat when I came to church. Nothing I could eat was there at the Sunday School workers' meeting. Tonight I went down here and ordered dinner, and I came down here, and when I got out there, there wasn't any dinner in the bag. They forgot to put my food in there, so I didn't have any dinner. And I was pretty upset about this. And I sat there, and I was choking, and I couldn't eat. And I finally just laid my food down. I said, "Lord, I'm not here to eat. I'm here to teach. Forgive me. And you make my mind work real good so I can honor and glorify you tonight. I'll eat later."
There you go.
I'll eat later. Well, there is nothing in this world more important than Jesus and what He is. I didn't get my act together until I prayed just before I got to this class here tonight. I was pretty upset. The guy didn't give me my food. It took me over an hour to get to church tonight. And everything was bad. But when I got here and just before I came to the class, I remembered why I was here. Well, man, I hurried and I rushed and I went all the way here and I didn't come here to eat. I came here to teach. Because that's why I'm still here. It says for better, that word kraton there, for better, gar, for better. Here's another little casual particle or conjunction, that gar there. For better is one practicing good deeds. If he's hoping to do the will of God. To suffer, poskein, then practice evil. Those people that are practicing evil against you are going to be ashamed one of these days. You won't be ashamed. Just make sure your nose is clean. That's what Peter's talking about here. Make sure what you're doing. Frank told me, and he got in front of the class, and he said, "I used to think I could go to the casinos and go to the bars and just witness real good for Jesus. First of all, I was there because I didn't know any other place to go. That's where my whole life was. First of all, I had to go drinking. But then I realized I was in the wrong place, finally. And I had to change my whole life because I had to put myself someplace else." So he said, "I started putting myself in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And that wasn't enough because I was out every night going to the bars and everything else. And then I started going to all the different ministries of the church and all of the different functions of the church. Everyone, I was there. and I could witness. And then I was out selling houses or whatever I was doing, I could witness, and I could witness with a clean conscience. We put up with hateful statements, we put up with abuse, we put up with all of this. And this endurance silences all of the evil deeds of the world. 3:18. Hoten. Kai. Christos. Hapax. Peri. Harmartion. Apothen. Dikaios. Hiper. Adikon. Hina. Himas. Prosagage. To, to you, Donna Tuesdays, men, Sarki, so Poontes, day, Numati. Because, Hote, Kai, this is not an and here, but an indeed, or yes, or most affirmatively. Because most affirmatively, absolutely, and that's a, and this here, if you want to look it up on page 208 in Benjamin Davidson's Analytical Greek Lexicon, you'll find out it's a particle of affirmation. A particle of affirmation, another one is amen. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
All right? This is also a particle of affirmation. Chi can be a particle of affirmation in this case, according to the syntax of this verse. Because indeed, and you can put down here if you want to, the Messiah, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, that's what it says, once, one time, hapax, that's once for all. It's a little adverb here, and it means oncely, literally. Once, one time, actively one time, concerning of sins. And if you want to put down here too, you can put down a definite article in front of it, tone, harmartion, concerning the sins. Whose sins? The sins of all the whole world. And your sins. The sins, he died. Third person singular, second aorist indicative active. Apothenesco. He ceased, his body ceased living. By God becoming flesh, only by God becoming flesh could He take your sins upon Himself. And only by God becoming flesh could He lay His body down. And only by God becoming flesh could He die for you. Concerning the sins, he died. It says here, Dikaios, righteous one, a just one, on behalf of Adikon. Adikon. Now, if the other one here is Dikaios, and now we have Adikon, or Adikaios. What does this mean? Alpha on the front of Dikaios means unjust. Unworthy, unjust. Unjustified, unrighteous, unholy. The Holy One, the Just One, on behalf of the Unjust One, in order that to ye, accusative plural, second person pronoun, by the way, that he might bring, or he might lead, to the God. Do that. Prosagage. He comes from pros, that means forward, and ago means what? Ago. You've heard me say that to the goddess many times. Agomen or ago? We're going to go. All right, we're leaving. So it means that he can lead or bring you to God. Look at that. By dying for our sins, the Lord, God of heaven, could lead us to God, to lead us into the presence of God. And then we have another little particle of affirmation, is man. Look at there. We have Chi up here. That's unusual. Now we have man. All right? Man again means absolutely or indeed or most affirmatively that he might lead us to God having been put to death. Having been put to death indeed. Truly. Having been put to death. Nominee, singing, or masculine, perfect participle passage. Who was put to death? The Lord was put to death. Jesus, with the Messiah, was put to death. All right. In the flesh. The Lord was put to death in His flesh. Now it says, but, over here, now we have to see that word day there? That has to, mentally, you have to put it over here between Sarki and Sol Poyon face. But, having been made alive, by the Spirit of God. Who raised Jesus from the dead? Huh?
God.
Who raised Jesus from the dead? Jesus. Jesus said, you tear this temple down, you destroy this temple, in 3 days, what's He going to do? I will raise it. Alright? So now it says that the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And what else does it say about in the Bible about who else raised Jesus from the dead? Remember? The Eternal Father raised Jesus from the dead. So who raised Jesus from the dead? Who resurrected His body? The whole Godhead. Who died on the cross of Calvary? It was Jesus' body, but did the Father taste death? On behalf of us. Did the Holy Spirit taste death? Of course Jesus tasted death. Didn't He? Alright. Christ laid down His earthly mortal body in death. For us. We don't live forever. In human form. Did you know that? We all have a sentence of death in us. You know why? It's a terrible thing when somebody tells you you've got cancer. My wife's experienced that. That was an earth-shaking experience. They say that no, you never, they say you've got heart trouble. That's hurting. You know, I mean, that's scary. But cancer is the death sentence. You know that? They say there's nothing like the day that the doctor tells you that you have cancer. I remember my wife once in the doctor with me when the doctor told me I had cancer. He handed me a sack of things about cancer like that. She just started bawling and went out and left. She was in the waiting room when she saw that happen and she left crying. But we all die. We're not getting out of this life alive. It's not going to happen. Every one of us has the same sentence of death that you're not going to live forever in this body. You can't do it. It's not going to happen. We all die. We aren't going to get out of this life alive unless the rapture comes real soon. We die. But we have a hope and a peace. That's a great word, hope. That's a guaranteed future existence. Not in the body that you have. You know, I worked hard today to clean out this walk-in refrigerator. And I took out, I don't know how many things, stuff was in that thing. I worked on this thing 2 or 3 times. I found stuff in there from the 1970s.
Right.
I'm not kidding you. The 1970s. 1977 was the oldest thing that I found.
You could probably sell it on eBay.
It wasn't worth selling. I found chocolate covered cherries.
Aww.
You know, a chocolate covered cherry? It's kind of heavy, isn't it? Well, these were lighter than a feather. They had dehydrated and gone on.
Oh, my goodness.
I worked That woman has caused me a lot of work, I'll tell you that much.
Like chocolate.
Anyway, I was down on my knees. My knees are killing me. My back's hurting. Everything was hurting about me today because I was out doing that. You know what? I don't want to live in this body forever. I want a body that's going to be without pain. And I'm going to have one too, because the Lord guaranteed me one. I got to put up with it as long as I'm on this earth. Jehovah became flesh and lived in a human body that to show us that even God died on the cross of Calvary for us. He experienced death for us. That we might know that one of these days we're going to have that kind of a glorified body. That's a guarantee. I'm no pain. Jesus could walk through walls. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
He was totally lined up with the world, the whole cosmos after he was resurrected. We can find him walking on the water and everything else, but we don't see him walking through walls before he was resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
After that, he walked through walls. And that body will never die again. That body is the one that's going to lead us to victory. He will lead us to victory. 3:19. This is a very interesting verse. People have spent years studying this verse. So I'm going to spend 6 weeks on this verse, okay?
No.
I'm not going to. But people have spent years studying this verse. It's called Dicentius ad Infernos. Dicentius ad Infernos. That's what it means in Latin. It means the descent into the inferno. In ho, kai tois en. Philake, Numasin, Poruthes, Ek Kerusin. All right, this is a very short verse. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 words in Greek that people had written volumes on this verse. Volumes on this verse. Luke 16:19-31, Acts 2:37, Matthew 27:52, Luke 23:34, Ephesians 4:9, 1 Peter 2:4, Jude 6, Revelation 20:7, and Hebrews 12:23, and Revelation 20:7, all refer to this verse. Why, everybody from Paul the Apostle, Augustine, Martin Luther, John Calvin, they all had an opinion on this verse here. Now let's literally see what it says. Okay? In which indeed to the ones in Philake, in prison, to the ones spirits in prison having gone, he preached. Who went? Who is it talking about here? It's talking about Jesus, isn't it? All right. And it says that Jesus went to the ones held, the spirits, it says, held in prison. What do you know about that? What kind of prison is this, this Philake?
Well,
the spirits. These aren't people. It's not in human bodies. Spirits in prison. All right. Let's get started in this just a little bit. Here's a round circle. We're going to call this Earth, okay? And then there's two Greek words, kata and hypo. What does kata mean? Kata? Down. Hypo. Under. All right, hypo. Hypoglycemia is low blood sugar. It's not hyper, but hypo. All right. So kata and kata, and hipo, all right? Two words. You can say down, down, or down, under. Okay? And we're going to look at some of this. We've got to go through this. Here's the earth, and it says someplace down under the earth. Now here is the earth. I could teach a whole class on this verse easily. But this class and this verse is monumental in theology. Alright, the study of God and the study of things of God. This is where some people try to say, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, like the Seventh-day Adventists, like Armstrong's Church of God, or I guess Herbert Armstrong's dead. I don't know about Garner Ted Armstrong. He split off. He was such a terrible moral character that his dad finally divorced him from him and just forgot it. And of course, Garner Ted Armstrong started his own church. They all say that man has a second chance after you leave this world to believe. And they try to use this verse to teach that. This verse does not teach that. Now we're going to go on. The next few verses are very interesting, okay? Here's the earth, and down under the earth is where this place is. It's, in Hebrew, it's called Sheol. And in Greek, it's called Hades. Okay? The place of departed spirits. And it entails paradise and also the place of torment. Next week, we're going to look at this verse again. What is the date?
19.
Please remember Irene Montagon, too. She will be operated on tomorrow for cancer. Kavahipo, down under the earth, is this place called Sheol or Hades. Now, Jesus went down into this holding place after he died on the cross of Calvary. Now, you're not going to get this opinion from everybody, okay? But this is what I believe, and this is what Roger believes, and this is what Phil believes, as far as I can understand in this church. Jude 6, Ephesians 4, 8 through 10, Revelation 20 and 7, Hebrews 12, 23, Luke 23, 34, Matthew 27, 52, Acts 2, 37, and Luke 16, 19 through 31. Someone turn with me, or if you've got a Bible, I'm going to read this to you very quickly. I want you to think about this until next week. Okay? Because I'm going to have to quit here. Luke 16th chapter. I'm going to tell you about this story that you hear here is not a parable. This is not the parable of Lazarus and Dives. People call it that, but this is not a parable. A parable is a make-believe story about something. This is not a make-believe story. This is, it uses people's names. All right? Luke, the 16th chapter, starting with verse 19. I'm going to read it to you. Now there was a certain rich man, and in the original languages and some of the old manuscripts, it names him Nineveh, or Dives. And he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus, a certain poor man. This is talking about specific people in it. So we have what? How many people here?
Two people.
We have a rich one and we have a poor one. Okay, this is a very poor one. This word here is extremely poor. This person cannot support themselves in any way, shape, or form. All right? And the poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate covered with sores and longing to be fed with the crumbs that were falling from the rich man's table. Now, rich people lived back then, and they had a lot of table scraps. If the lettuce wasn't just exactly right, of course they didn't have all this stuff, but just for instance, if it was just a little brown, they threw it on the floor. They food didn't look right, it was too tough or tasted bad, this piece of meat, they just threw it on the floor. And sometimes they had dogs walking around and the dogs would lap it up. And sometimes the servants would pick it up and then they'd take it out there and there were dogs sitting at the gate out there with Lazarus and they'd just take a bucket full of scraps and throw it out there and this poor guy grabbed the scraps off the ground and ate it with the dogs. All right. This is the way that Lazarus lived. Having fed with the crumbs that were falling from the rich man's table, besides even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. The world wasn't good to him, but these animals were good to him. They came and they were affectionate and licking his sores and paying attention to him. Sometimes in some places, the only friend you got in the world is an animal. For animals. Now it came about that the poor man died and he was carried away by the angels. Now it tells us something else here. That when you die, angels come and get you if you're saved. They escort you. Angels come and get you and they escort you. When Stephen was dying, being killed there at Stephen's Gate, or the Eastern Gate in Jerusalem, the eastern side, this gate, Sheep's Gate, where the sheep were led in for slaughter. When Stephen was being killed there, he said he saw heaven open up and he saw angels and the Son of God. He said the poor man died and he was carried away by angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Now, we know what happened to Lazarus, this person. The angels came and got him when he died and escorted him into the paradise of God. And this is where he was. The paradise of God. One side of this was paradise and the other was torments. Or Hades. Or hell. Okay? Hell really exists. That's what it says right here. Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. And in Hades, the rich man, old Dives, or Nineveh, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus in his area where he was, or in his bosom. This is what you call, paradise over here is called Abraham's bosom, okay? Or paradise. And he cried out and says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Who's crying out? Huh? The man that's in hell. Now, evidently, people in hell at this period of time could see those over there on the other side that were in pleasure and comfort. And that's another one of the torments. Okay? He cried out, saying, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agonies in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received good things, and likewise Lazarus, bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. Now, it doesn't mean that every rich man is going to go to hell, and every poor man is going to go to heaven. That's what it's talking about here. Something happened that happened in their lives. I talked about in the book of 1 Peter that you can curse your children by the behavior and the way you raise them. Because you are responsible to God to raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. But every one of your children, when they grow up, and you, and your mother, your grandmother, great-grandmother, whatever, everyone in your life, when you come to the age of accountability, you make your decisions. Nobody bore you and put you in mold and say you have to go that way. You got bad influences, you got bad raising and everything, but you can go the right way. How many good parents have produced a bad child. That's called volition. How many rich homes have produced reprobates? How many poor homes have produced princes? Wonderful people. That happens that way. Each and every one of us makes our own decision. But Abraham said, child, remember that during your life you had good things and Lazarus had bad things, and now he is being comforted and you are in agonies. And besides all this, between you and us, there's a great expanse fixed in order that those who wish to come over from here to you cannot go, and that none can come over from there to us. And he said, I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. Send him back. Send Lazarus back to my father's house. For I have 5 brothers, that he may warn them lest they also come to this place of torment. He remembered, didn't he? Now this man is dead. His body is dead in a grave. But his spirit is seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and feeling torment in hell. And he's remembering those that he left behind. And he's sorry that he got where he is now. But Abraham said, they have Moses and they have the prophets. They got the Bible, is what it said. Let them read the Bible. But he said, Father, no, Father, Abraham, but if someone would go back to them from the dead, they will repent. You're not going to get to heaven without repenting of your sins and the ungodly deeds. That's the barrier. You aren't going to carry your pet sins through life and confess and say, I'm saved, and do what you did before. You can't do that. Those sins are signs that you're not saved. You cannot carry those sins through life and walk into the beatific vision. It's not going to happen. But he said, if one went back from the dead, they'll repent. But he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. Now, after this was said, did somebody rise from the dead? Jesus and Lazarus and a whole bunch of other people that were raised and to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This happened. It happened. I wonder if any of his brothers repented when they saw Jesus walk the earth again, when they saw him. These people that were raised from the dead, did they repent? We don't have any record of it. But what did Abraham tell him? They won't repent if somebody went back from the dead, because they got the Word of God and they got the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Do you think the Holy Spirit ever convinced Dives or this rich man that he was a sinner when he was on the earth? The Bible says that God convicts every man. But did he make the wrong choice? He sinned against his spirit, didn't he? You know, when you make the wrong choices in life, you sin against yourself. You cut your own throat. At the time, it's happy. Oh, I'm doing what I want to. But really, is it worth it? It bites you like a serpent. That's what Solomon said. He said, sin is like a serpent. It bites you and fills your veins with the poison of death, the double death. Thank you for your attention tonight. God bless you for your endurance on those hard seats. I know it's hard. My wife gets up from there hurting every time. Her little old back hurts so hard from...